We're doing Sefer Masiot, and we're continuing with the story of a student that says he was once walking to Babylon, and he had a little bit of money, and that money which he had earned working very hard. And he came to the city, and it was Friday afternoon. And he looked for a trustworthy person to hold on to that money till Sunday. And he came to Shul, and he found the person praying before the altar. And the person was covered with tzitzis and wearing tefillin. So everyone knows how busy we are Friday afternoon. Who has time to be in Beis Medrash learning? Here he comes to Shul, it's the busiest time of the week, and there's a man sitting wrapped in his talis, wearing his tefillin. And the student says, I said to myself, I won't find anywhere in the world, certainly not in this city, someone who's like this person. This must be a very pious person. It's worth leaving my money by him. So I waited for him to end his prayer, and I greeted him with peace, and I said, my master, I'm a guest. I just came to town. I have a little bit of money. Maybe I could leave it by you because I trust you. So he took my wallet and he took it home, and I came to him on Sunday and I said to him, do me a favor, give me back my wallet, I want to go. And he looked at me and said, who are you? I never saw you. I don't know what you're talking about. And when I heard this, I thought I was going to die. So I was completely bitter, very angry, and with my fury and feeling futile, feeling that I wouldn't have a chance of ever seeing again my money, I left and I wept and I said, what am I going to do? Where will I go? How will I live? And that whole day and that whole night, I was walking in a daze. And the next morning, I again went to his house and I tried to appease him and I begged and I got nowhere. And I went to Shul the following night and I said, Master of the world, it's not that person who I trusted when I gave him my money to watch. I had faith in you, your great name that's engraved on the tefillin in his head. May your kindness be upon me to save me from this tzara. And I wept bitterly and I fell asleep, and Eliyahu appeared in a dream standing over me, and he said, don't be stunned and don't be sorry. Get up early to his house, go to his wife and tell her, your husband said you should give me the wallet that he gave you on Friday afternoon and he told you to hide. And here's the sign, you and he together ate chametz on Pesach and you broke the fast of Yom Kippur, both of you ate on Yom Kippur. So I woke up early and I ran to his house and I did as he told me. And I told the woman these signs that Eliyahu said I should say in the name of her husband. And she quickly gave me the money, and I went to my way, happy and content. And I wondered, on what kind of person is this guy? On the outside, he wears tefillin and talis, and he's davening in shul. And on the inside, he's a thief, and he eats chametz on Pesach, and he eats on Yom Kippur. The man comes home to his wife, and the woman tells him, you know, a man came, and he told me, give me the wallet, and here's the sign. So I gave him the money and he left. And the man said to his wife, I didn't send him and I didn't tell him all that. And now the man thought to himself, everyone knows. Everyone knows that we eat chametz. If this newcomer to town knows that we ate chametz on Pesach and that we ate on Yom Kippur. So he said to his wife, okay, if that's the case, let's go back to our original religion. They were kutim. We know the kutim were people who the Assyrian king brought from the island of Crete to the land of Israel. And when they entered the land of Israel, they were interested in maintaining their religion, but God sent wild animals to attack them. So they sent word to Sennacherib, the Assyrian king. They said, the God of this land doesn't approve of the way we live, so send us someone to teach us how to obey the God of the land. And so he sent them a kohen, and the kohen taught them how to be Jewish. And the kutim, on the outside, they behaved like Jews. And they had hidden in their homes, they had idols. And behind their closed doors, they'd worship idols. So this man and this woman were kutim, but on the outside, they behaved in a very pious fashion. So he told his wife, if everyone knows, so let's go back and we'll be the way we were until now. And they went back to became kutim. And this story, we had two long classes on this story. We had one long class in our class on Psikta Drab Kahana, where the story appears. We had another class in the class we had in honor of Dov's Shloshim. As you remember, we had a special class in honor of Dov's 30 days to Dov's passing. So in that class, we also discussed this medrash from the Psikta Drab Kahana. But he quotes the story like this, and he gives another explanation, a different explanation than we said then, than we quoted from different commentaries. He says that these were a special type of gerim, that the Gemara really says the kutim weren't real gerim. The Gemara says the kutim were geri arayos. There's two opinions in the Gemara, but the Gemara's final conclusion, halachically, is that the kutim spent centuries deceiving us, acting on the outside like they were Jewish, and they had a temple on Har Gerizim, where they had an idol of a dove, and they used to worship that idol, and the rabbi's conclusion was that they really weren't real gerim. They were fooling us all along. So this person was, and his wife were one of them, and that's why on the outside they were so pious, and on the inside they really weren't, their insides weren't like their outsides. So that's why Chazal warned us to be careful from a person who's extra nice, a person who seems to, what we call chanef, he tries to sweet talk us. And when we see a person who on the outside is extra pious, and really on the inside he's wicked, both with his behavior to God and to other people, our sages said this is the type of person that destroys the world. The Gemara in Sota says there are seven types of people who you see them and they seem pious, and really they destroy the world. The Gemara says there are seven. One is Parush Shichmi, a person who's like the people of Shechem in the way that he seems to be pious. The people of Shechem, they all circumcise. You have people 60, 50, 40, one day they all decide we're all circumcising. But they weren't circumcising for the sake of heaven. They did it because they wanted to get the Jewish girls. So the people of Shechem said, we were scared of our king, and we he tells us we have to circumcise or else. So they did it so that he would be able to abduct the daughter of Yaakov. And in the Jerusalem Talmud it says a different explanation. What is Parush Shichmi? It says that a person who carries the mitzvahs on his shoulder, but his heart isn't with them. So on the outside, yeah, he's performing mitzvahs, but his heart isn't with it. The second type of person, the Gemara says we have to be careful because they seem extra pious on the outside, but really they're fakes, are people who are Parush Nikfei, people who bang their feet as they walk. So they'll tell you, I walked today such a distance to perform mitzvah. I went to buy a lulav, to buy wood for a sukkah. I went for a distance to do mila or for a kala till my feet are all worn out. And really he's lying. He just wants you to think he performed the big mitzvah. So he's always telling you how hard he worked to perform a mitzvah. When you meet a person like that, Chazal says you should know that's one of the seven people that destroy the world. Everyone thinks he's such a pious person. You'd be surprised if you see these people. You can sometimes see people walking into shul and telling everyone else how pious they are, and very often right afterwards they'll ask for a donation. So Chazal said when someone walks in and tells you how hard he works on mitzvahs, be careful. Maybe he's for real, but that's not. The first thought is maybe not. The third is Parush Kiza.
Sorry, the one before that one was a guy who does mitzvahs, but takes the mitzvahs out.
There were two understandings. The Bavli says that he does mitzvahs, but just out of some kind of external fear, like the people of Shechem did it for fear of the king, or this person, or a person might be scared of if people know, or if so you see these people. Sometimes there's a famous story with Rav Mordechai Elio, that Rav Mordechai Elio once flew, I don't remember to which country, a country in Africa, and he's sitting on the plane with his wife, and he speaks fluent Arabic, and the guy sitting in front of him is the Arabic ambassador, I don't remember to which country. And when Rav Eliyahu got off the plane, the Egyptian ambassador ran toward him and told him, look, I heard the rabbi's a holy person. My wife and I haven't been able to have children for a long time, and we want you to bless us that we should have children. And I think it was the Egyptian ambassador did that, so this other ambassador who was standing there said, you filthy Arab, he started cursing him in Arabic. He didn't know Rav Eliyahu understands. He said, you go to a rabbi and ask him for a blessing, I'm going to tell your boss exactly what you just did. And Rav Eliyahu turned around to him and answered him in Arabic and said, you better think twice before you go and tell his boss what he just did. Because I just saw you on that plane with your wife eating pork. So if you want to go tell other people what he did, I'm going to go publicize that you and your wife sat on that plane when no one was looking. And she said to you, honey, we can't eat pork. And you said to her, no one's looking, who cares? We can do whatever we want up here on the plane. So Rav Eliyahu said to him, you want to talk, I'll talk. And this is a famous story that once happened with Rav Mordechai Eliyahu. So yeah, there are people who, when everyone's looking, so then they behave one way. But when there's in a place that no one's looking, so you see, they're doing it out of social fear or some other fear. Now, here we're talking about not just a person who performs a mitzvah, but he's parush. He acts like he's extra pious. And his extra piety is just out of some kind of fear. Yeah?
The first guy, where he's doing mitzvot for the wrong reason.
It's not that he's doing mitzvot. It's that he's doing stringencies. He wants to show himself as extra pious, but it stems from a certain fear. That was the Babylonian understanding in this Braisa, in the first example. The Jerusalem Talmud said that it's a person that carries the mitzvot on his shoulders. Externally, he shows you his righteousness, but his heart isn't with him. The second example is someone who makes a point of showing you. He says, oh, my feet are so tired from the mitzvot I did. So he's going around telling people his mitzvot, and really he's just trying to make you think he's pious. The third type of person that the Gemara says is externally extra pious and really is destructive to the world is parush kiza, that a person says, I'm so pure, I gotta be careful from all you, and he bangs himself on the wall, and he finds himself bleeding and hurting, and he says, yeah, because I gotta make sure not to bump into people, I'm too holy. So in the times of the Gemara, this was real, because a person said they were careful with tuman tahara. So if I don't hold that you're holy enough, that you watch yourself enough from becoming tamei, if I touch you, I could really become tamei. In our day, we could think of other examples where people give the holier-than-thou attitude, and they're so to speak, willing to suffer so much just so as not to be defiled by someone else. Defiled, quote-unquote. The fourth example is parosh maronia, that a person, he walks as though he's got constant fear. He always walks with his head down, and he wants to show that he's extra pious. He's always, you see people like that. They're always walking as though they're thinking. They're always walking as though they're praying. Yeah, they got to be on that level. But if he's trying to show to others, the fifth and the sixth and the seventh is parush me'ava, parush me'ira. A person who does mitzvos because he wants people to say, oh, look at what a nice guy he is. Or, what? He wants people to talk about him.
Oh.
Someone once said, in our day and age, when we do mitzvah, so even if we're doing it quietly and we're doing it modestly, it's just until they find out. We're all the time thinking, when will everyone know how pious I really am?
Well,
yeah. Excellent. We'll get to that in 1 second. Excellent. The Nisim Gaon is going to discuss that in 1 second. Or if a person does it so that God will heal him from something. So these, in the times of the Braisa of the Mishnah, the rabbis said, these people are destructive to the world. Abaye and Rava said to Rabba, remove the last two examples that you gave. People who do it because they want other people to like them because they're doing mitzvot, or because they're doing it just out of fear of Hashem, they want Hashem to help them, because ultimately they could turn out good. Because mitoch shelo lishma bayim lishma, what you just said, that the bottom line is, we say, you know what, if I won't be able to do mitzvot unless I have an external stimuli, that's fine. Ultimately, I'll do it for the sake of it. And that's why these people aren't destructive to the world. That's the way people grow. We have to begin by giving ourselves a certain, what they call in Hebrew, chupal. We give ourselves prizes. I know that when I started learning, when I first came to America as a rav, so they still have a good coffee machine there. So I'd always tell myself, you have to finish till here before you get yourself a cup of coffee. So I'd give myself a challenge. I know I wanted the coffee. So sometimes I'd look at myself in disgrace and say, for a cup of coffee, you're learning Divrei Elokim Chaim. But on the other hand, if that's what gets you to move, so a person has to think of ways to challenge himself to move forward. A person can tell himself, I'm not going to have dessert unless I make it on time for davening. So a person has a way of moving himself forward, and it's It seems silly, but it's not. It's ways that we can work on ourselves. Look at Weight Watchers. Look at all these different plans that help people get overcome themselves. So, mitoch shelo lishma, even though we might start out not for the real sake of things, we could come to the sake of things. So, Rav Nachman also told us, dimitama mitama, what's covered is covered and what's known is known. Meaning, we don't know what's in someone else's heart. And if there are people who really externally show themselves as pious and internally they're not, God is going to avenge from them. And Yanai HaMelech warned his wife, and this is a famous warning. When Yanai was about to pass away, he told his wife, I'm telling you, don't worry about the people who are extra pious, and don't worry about the people who are not pious at all. What you have to worry about are the fakers. The people that, behind closed doors, they behave in wicked ways, and outside, they want you to treat them like pious people. Those are the people you should be scared of. So long as a person is honest with you, you're okay. If his external is like his internal, then you're fine. If he says, look, I'm not yet on that level, I'm not here, fine. So he's honest with you. The people you have to worry about, Yanai warned his wife, are the people that externally, what he called, Masehem Kizimri, their actions are like Zimri, who took a Midianite girl, Umvakshim Sahaka Pinchas, but they want you to give them wages like their Pinchas, the zealous one. So that's a famous line, Masehem Kizimri, Umvakshim Sahaka Pinchas. Maybe we'll do one more quick story.
They return to their religion, not to Jewish.
Correct.
They return to their old religion.
Correct.
To idolatry.
Yeah. And we have a similar story. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Meir were all going. This is a Gemara in Yuma. All three of them were traveling. And on Friday afternoon, they came to a city. They came to an inn. They were a guest at someone's house. They asked him his name, and he said his name is Kidor. So they gave him, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi gave him their wallets, and Rabbi Meir went and buried his wallet in a graveyard. So come Sunday morning, they want to go, and Rabbi Meir went to take his wallet from the graveyard. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda asked the person, could you give us our wallets? And he said, you guys never gave me anything. So they begged him, and they said, take some of the money, but give us some. And whatever they said, he refused. They tried, they got nowhere. So they were very saddened, and they asked Rabbi Meir, why didn't you give him your wallet? So Rabbi Meir said, when we asked his name, he said his name is Kidor. And the verse says, Kidor ta'apuchos heima banim lo'imun bam. Kidor is words in a verse. They are a generation that's upside down. Children that you can't have faith in them. So I said, if his name is Kidor, which is the beginning of a verse that says you can't have faith in someone, so I said, I'm not giving him my wallet. So they said, then why didn't you warn us? So he said, because I can't be sure just because of this, that I could tell you not to trust him. I won't trust him because of this. But that doesn't mean I'm sure that he's not a trustworthy person. So they didn't know what to do. They figured they'll go and they'll try to spend some time with Kidor and they'll be able to convince him. And they meet up with Kidor that night, and he's eaten some lentil soup, and he hadn't washed his hands. So they looked at his hands, they were red from the lentils, and lentils are small, but he had some lentils left over on his hand. So one of them got up, and he went to Kidor's house, and he said to the wife, your husband said, give us our wallets, the wallets that he gave you on Friday night, and the sign is that you two both ate lentil soup. So she said, okay, how would he know we ate lentil soup? So she gave him the money, and he brought the wallets together, and they left. Kidor comes home, and his wife tells him, a man came and he gave me this sign, so I gave him the wallets. So Kidor said, you did what? You gave him our money? He took out a sword and killed him. And that's why our sages warned us that we have to be careful to wash our hands before eating and after eating. Our sages say the waters before eating protected a person once from eating the meat of a pig, and the waters after eating already caused someone to die. So caused someone to die, we just saw.
He
was an evil person, but Chazal said, bottom line, wash your hands after you eat, and this is a good way to remember it. And Chazal say that there was once a person who was in a small village, and he'd make meals for all the peoples who passed by, but he'd be very careful that the Jews, he'd give them kosher food, and the non-Jews, he'd give them non-kosher food. So a foolish Jew once was a guest at his house, so the man asked him, could I have food to eat? So the owner of the house looked at him, and he saw he didn't go to wash his hands before he ate the bread. So he said, must be his akuti. So he gave him the pig's meat that he gave the non-Jews. So the man ate, and then as they're talking, he figures out that the guy tells him he's a Jew. So he told him, stop eating the meat. Hey, that's pig's meat. So he said, what are you doing feeding pig's meat? He said, well, you didn't ask for kosher meat. I have here a lot of non-Jews that come. I give them the non-kosher food. So there are other details to the story that Rav Nissim Gaon over here doesn't quote. But from here, our sages say that a person has to be careful with washing before the meal and after the meal. And aside from the halachic reasons that we have, our sages always aligned it with these two stories, that the washing before the meal has already, when someone didn't take it seriously, he ended up eating the meat of a pig by mistake. And the washing after the meal cost the person the life of his wife. Again, these are stories that Chazal aligned with these. Obviously, there are halachic reasons, and these are not the halachic reasons, but there are stories that are aligned with these halachot.